we become callous to things we see, are so callous that we don't even report things. We obviously saw with, you know, coverage on this horrendous attack in Manchester. And then as a side note, I mean, there's been coverage of it, but not that much. On Friday, in Manya, Egypt, 29 Christians, Coptic Christians, were slaughtered. One little boy, 6 years old, talked about how he was there and his mother pushed him down and put a bag over him and threw herself on top of him to save the boy's life. You know, you can read these stories. I was right over here while we were singing, looking at some of the names. I can't pronounce any of them. But isn't it on Memorial Day worth remembering? Amen. And we are at a place where we have perpetual Memorial Days. When we think about people who are in the in being martyred for the faith. So anyway, just a thought there. And it is just it's heart-rending. And, you know, I guess when it's not at my door, it doesn't make me feel as much. And Revelation chapter 2, I selected this passage today because it has the word remember in it, you know, to do these things again. And I love, man, I'm a patriotic person. I mean, you know, some of you have known me for a long time. I mean, I break out the red, white, and blue on anything, and I just enjoy that. And if I look through Scripture, the word memorial can be people make that a bad word because they think, well, you know, you live here. No, you don't live there, but you do memorialize and you do remember. And I go to cemeteries sometimes, and I look at all these kids. I mean, by the time I age, there are all these kids out here laying in these cemeteries. And I think about that. But memorials have always been important to God because God regards remembering as a crucial exercise for His people. We remember. In Scripture, I'm going to give two or three places, and I've listed them down here. I'm going to read a couple of them. In Deuteronomy, you know, I love Deuteronomy, but sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God. Take an animal from your flock or the herd and place the Lord would choose for a dwelling for His name. Do not eat it with bread made with yeast, but for 7 days eat unleavened bread. No bread of affliction, because you left Egypt in haste. So that all the days of your life you may remember the time of your departure from Egypt. And we remember that. We commemorate it with movies even. We think about the time of the departure. There is a remembrance. In Joshua chapter 4, we see another place where they were crossing the Jordan, right? Crossing into the promised land. And it said, get stones and build a monument in the middle of the land, in the river there, as a place of memorial. And you can imagine each tribe carrying their stone, the place, and there's that memorial. Or you get into the New Testament in Luke. It says, that night after supper, or sometime during the meal, Jesus took the bread and He broke it. And He gave it to them, saying, this is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Not that you're going to forget me, but when you do it, you remember why I came. And we do that on occasion. We come and we partake of a wafer and some juice, and we do this in remembrance of Him. So remembering is a good thing. As a matter of fact, I would suggest that sometimes you remember more than you think you do. And I'm not talking about how we all forget things, but you remember more than you think you do. Is there a day that goes by that you don't remember somebody who was close to you who is gone? You do, and we remember this. And it might be pictures in the house, it might be, but sometime during that day you remember. And there can be a smell. I can smell something and my mind immediately goes to a memory. Does that happen? Or you hear a song. You know, you hear a song, and you know, we had all these weird song, you know, we were the 70s music, and then the 80s music was all Air Supply and Journey, you know, and I hear the song and I can go back to when I was young and, you know, had all this going for me, when my get up and go was still there, you know. And we have those things. Or Paul, when he wrote in Romans, he talked about being baptized into Christ. And baptism is a type of memorial, a type of a setting apart. And so we have these things, and if I look in this scripture today, you know, I want to first say that it's okay to remember. We don't live in yesterday, but we sure do remember yesterday. We remember it. You know, I look at some of these parents who have children here, okay? I have children here. We got, you know, I'm a kid. You know. Do you remember the day of the birth of the child you have in this audience? Absolutely. Remember them all. Yeah. Brookwood Hospital. Yeah, I was there three times. Yeah. And it's just so funny. Jacob was 16 hours of labor. We toughed that one out. I did nothing. All the way to Benjamin, you know, everybody knows that story. You know, the day of Alabama was playing LSU, and, you know, and so we were there, and I was getting ready to go to the ball game, and a mother, we were living in Huntsville, we were here, and I don't know how, but these, you know, that baby, look, y'all might not know to go to that game. Oh, it'll be fine, you know. Good thing I didn't go because Benjamin came. And then by the time Mary Catherine came, we were in the hospital, and I was the Dr. Perry, I can't remember, no, it wasn't Perry, is it? Radbill came in, and he looked at Christian, you know, said, you know, this baby's not coming yet. And he turned around to go back to his office. He had his beeper on. And before he got back to the office, the nurse called him back. The baby was delivered. I mean, they said, told Chris, they push. And she pushed. She said, don't push again. And the doctor gets back. Walked in. Mary Catherine was born quickly. That was the time he looked at me and said, do you want to deliver the baby? I said, how many of you delivered? And he said, oh, you know, 4,300. I said, you do it, because it'll be my first time. You know, and you go right ahead. But we remember those times, lest we forget. And you know, I think the Lord is really impressing upon this Church of Ephesus here. Church of Ephesus is a tremendous church. Great place. That gets us to the next thing here, the second point. This Church of Exodus was told to remember. And what were they told to remember? And it said, remember the height from which you have fallen. So, you know, there's a great commendation for this church, but it says, remember where you were and now look at where you are. And remember where you were and let's go back and do these things again. And I just think about this whole idea of forgetting, and I don't want to forget where I was, and I thank the Lord that He's brought me to this journey, but I don't want to live in the pit. I go to Psalm 103 every morning. Psalm 103, you know, it says five benefits. Matter of fact, you know, Psalm 103, bless the Lord on my soul and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And He lists five benefits. Number one, He forgives my iniquity. Number two, He heals my diseases. Number three, He delivered me from the pit. I had no future. I had nothing. But I was headed to the pit. And He delivered me from the pit. I want to remember that. I don't want to live in the pit anymore. I'm an ex-pit person. Well, trademark that. I don't want to forget. I don't want to walk away and forget. I don't want my lampstand to be, removed. But the third thing, what had they forgotten? And it said in this verse, it said, had they forgotten to help those in need? Probably not. Had they forgotten to do all the good things? No. It says, I know your works. I know what you're doing. You're doing great stuff. When there's a storm, you go and you help. When there are people who are hungry, you help. When there's issues to be resolved, you help. You're good people in the community. You do things for me. But it says, here's one thing. You don't love me like you once did. Or actually, it says directly, you have left your first love. You know, in a marriage, some of us have been married for a while now. You know, as you get married, there are days of bliss and there's days that are just days. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's recording. But here you are and you move along through life, you know, and you're going through life. And yet you want to keep the home fires burning. We don't have a business relationship. We have a marriage. And, you know, there's the marriage, and I come swooping into the kitchen, and I, you know, give my, you know, and sometimes I'll tell Christy how beautiful she is, And then she says, your eyesight's not what it once was. I said, oh, yeah, you know, you're more beautiful today. You're right. And, you know, those things are just little romantic reminders of this isn't a business relationship. This is a marriage. My time with the Lord is likewise. Sometimes I just take the benefits and run. Sometimes I just do the things that are necessary to be, you know, to present myself as a Christian. But he said, I don't want that. If I did that, I'd give you 10 things to do, and you do those 10 things. I didn't give you that. I want a relationship with you. I want my love to be in you, and your love to be back to me. Have they fallen in doctrine? Probably not. But they had left their first love. And he said, remember your early deeds. Remember how it was earlier. Do I have to play the music for you, Church of Ephesus? Do I have to remind you of what it was like? No. Remember then, and let's rebuild and rekindle this relationship. I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. You know, the word forsaken, walked away, abandoned, forgotten, whatever it might be, your first love. You know, you can think of things in life that have come and gone. Things come and go so easily these days. We don't, you know, we tear down and build and tear down and build. But one thing that should not be torn down is the remembrance of the first love. And we should make it kindle to where it's not just a spark, it blooms. Now, when I was a kid, we used to sing a song, Passing On. Remember Passing On? We had all these 70s music, you know. And Passing On was a good one. It only takes a spark to get. And that was one where all the girls would start crying, you know. It was our kumbaya song, you know. And Passing On, but it's a great line in there. It takes one spark to get a fire going. And it doesn't take a lot to build the fire that is the first love fire. And I think about Acts chapter 19 says that Paul went on a missionary journey. You know where he went? Ephesus. And he went to Ephesus and he stayed there over 2 years. And it appears that they had just a tremendous ministry there. And they had planted the church. A revival had taken place. Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus came together. And they were living for the Lord. But at some point in time, they were seized by fear. And Paul wrote them a letter back. You can read it, the book of Ephesians, right? We read about that. And he wrote them back and he says, encourage them, don't be seized by fear. Don't be seized by fear. And the name of the Lord should be held high. You should be unified in body. And you should not let all these external things affect you, Church of Ephesus. Be strong for Jesus. And we continue to see this church thrive. And this church held the name of Jesus in high honor. They openly confessed their evil deeds according to this book. They publicly got rid of all the sorcery that was pulling people into despair and away from the Lord. And they had a spreading of the Word of God. They invested in morality in Him. They invested their private lives in Him. They invested their finances in Him. They did all the right stuff, but they had lost their first love. And the question for us today is really, have you left your first love? Do you still have the kindled relationship with the Lord that you once did? Or maybe you never had. You say, I want that kind of relationship. Churches can fall into this trap just as individuals fall into the trap. We do the stuff. We pray the prayer. And we get all the things down and we just float along through life like we're on one of those lazy river rapids. You ever been on one of those? We were at a hotel a couple years ago and you got on this thing. And I don't know, it lasted for about 30 minutes. It was nice. I was laid there and the whole thing just took me around. I said, I could do this every day. I like this. And sometimes we just float along in life. And I believe we should build upon yesterday, not just succumb to the whims of today. What kind of things, and this is going to be kind of a working thing, I'm going to ask you, what are some things that we as men and women of faith should not forget? What do you think some things we should not forget? Well, we should not forget the remembrance of Him, that Christ died for us. that he said, I want to die so that you can live forever. I want to redeem you from the pit. I want to exchange my life for yours. I didn't come so that you might do for me. I came so that I might do for you. Very good. All right, what else should we not forget?
The people who witnessed what Jesus did and wrote it down for us.
We should not forget, and we have much of this written down, so we should not neglect the Word. And we even take it further than that. We start to look at the long, what I call the long crimson line through history. The line of blood we see from the early church all the way to the 29 Coptic Christians killed in Egypt Friday. We see that this was paid by blood. To have the scripture in English, a person was burned at the stake for that. So it is not to be taken lightly. Very good. Yes.
Our reward is in heaven.
Our reward is in heaven. Yeah, we have a lot of great things here. I mean, yeah, Memorial Day, swimming pools, ribs, yeah, that's good stuff. You know, we have great relationships. We have air conditioning. Might not be working well, but we have air conditioning. We have all these great things about us. And it always seems like we live in bliss, but we don't. Our reward is in heaven. Therefore, we continue to pour out our lives for here, because our reward is in heaven. Matter of fact, it says, great is our reward. Very good. What else should we not forget? You know, I think that every person counts. I think as Bill Hybel said one time, and it really caught my attention years ago, he said, everybody you lock eyes with matters to the Lord. They matter. A little kid, the guy out in the getting his orange juice, the person at the convenience store, whoever they might be, they matter to the Lord. I cut myself, you know, which is not unusual, but it was a little deep, and it was, I guess, Thursday afternoon, and I bandaged it up, you know, bandaged about that big. And Thursday night, I had poured alcohol in it because we were out of hydrogen peroxide, so I wanted to go to the store to get some hydrogen peroxide. The problem is, almost 11 o'clock. I was going to clean it up, so I went to Walgreens, and it was closed. I didn't know Walgreens closed. Publix was closed. So I go to Walmart, which was packed. Packed. You know, people, you know, working and so forth. Plus, one of the SEC baseball games was letting out. So I mean, like, I'm almost 11 o'clock, and I'm in a traffic jam. You know. So I finally get there and get up. By the way, they still sell methylate. Did you know they still sell methylate? It gives me nightmares to think about. I remember one time I was at a man's house and I got a cut, and he said, come in here. And he opened the medicine cabinet. He threw some stuff on my hand. And I never wanted to mention a cut to anybody for 10 years. No, is it cut? No, I'm fine. Yeah. But so anyway, I got the stuff. I went back home and I started thinking about all the people in the store. I mean, it was a mix. The nationalities in that store was a tremendous mix, you know. And I started thinking, every person in the store matters to the Lord. We go about our ways in our own groups, but everybody matters. Very good. Okay, what else should we not forget?
Jesus is Lord and King.
Jesus is what?
Jesus is Lord and King.
Jesus is Lord and King. We talked about that the other night. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The kings of this earth will pass away. The kings of this earth should follow the heart of God. Many times they don't. But He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes.
We've heard so much this week about the three Abrahamic faiths.
Yeah.
When Muhammad died, the Jewish faith
right.
Still looking.
Right.
And ours was crucified, dead, buried, and sits at the right hand of God.
Right, that's right. It's a aliveness. You know, of course, I think, and we'll get into it, but there is a real ripoff of the Gnostic Gospels that we see written in the Quran. And whenever you have this pyramid turned upside down, Jesus turned everything upside down. Most of the time, the pyramid is the wide base supports the person on top. Jesus actually, with his own words, said, I have come not to be on top, but to turn it here. I've come to serve you. I've come to die for you. Now you go and do likewise to the world. You go and love the world. You go and die for the world. You go and serve the world. That's tremendous. Yes, okay. Couple more. Got anything else we need to remember?
We can't accomplish salvation on our own.
We cannot accomplish salvation on our own. I wonder if the church of Ephesus is one of the problems they were having is they forgot grace. Maybe they were doing all the right things these days because they had a foreign gospel come in that said something like this. You do these things and that will make you righteous. You keep these five things and that will make you righteous. Where Jesus said, you cannot be righteous in your deeds. Paul said, my righteousness, my work, dirty rags. I cannot accomplish anything. But the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ came and his righteousness became my righteousness. Very good. All right, one more.
I remember every day people who had a part in my life, me accepting Christ, growing.
Do you remember the song, Thank You? Thank You. I think this is a tremendous thing. And I believe that we do not elevate people above where they are, but we ought to be thankful for people. Now let's take a moment to do that. I'd like for you to name a name. Let's get a few names here of somebody who influenced you for the cause of Christ.
Hoyt
Bedingfield. Good.
Gail Marcus.
Yeah, there's a bunch of that. That's a pretty good. All right.
Jennifer Waddell.
That's it again.
Louis
Bond, good, yes, absolutely. Yes. Barbara Barker, yes. We ought to remember the names.
Andy Bond.
Right, Andy White, there you go. Close the book, let's go home. No. We ought to celebrate. We don't just shy away from that. We don't make men marble men, women marble women. But we celebrate those names. I'm thankful for people. I'm thankful for Martin Luther. I'm thankful for John Calvin and John Wesley, and I'm thankful for B.T. Roberts. I'm thankful for the people who said, no, we're going to stand here. They weren't perfect guys, and men and women, you read about them, they weren't perfect. But I tell you what they were people who gave themselves for the Lord. Let us do likewise. We should remember our salvation. Yeah, I'm not a chapter and verse person. I can remember coming to the Lord as a young child. I can also remember many times of renewal in my life, you know. But we ought to remember a time of salvation, maybe a place. Some of you, I know people said, I was 1960 this, and I was on this. I don't remember things that to that degree sometimes. But we ought to remember our place of salvation. Remember our commitments. Ecclesiastes talk about taking a vow. We ought to remember those commitments. I was talking with somebody not long ago, and they were talking about marriage and so forth. And I said, you know, that vow thing is big to me. It was a vow thing we did. Matter of fact, we had a bunch of people there to watch that deal. Benjamin was in a wedding yesterday. They take vows? Took vows. The vow thing's a big thing. Commitments that we make. What about we remember our brethren? How about not just remembering the brethren that influenced us, but we remember the brethren that are still out there who need us to have thought of them. How are they doing? You know, we pray for people sometimes. We'll mention folks in prayer, and some of us don't know those people. You know, you might mention a person in prayer that I don't know, and vice versa. But we bring those names to the Lord. Because when we do, we as the collect lift them up. We'll remember the truths of God. How about this? Remember your parents. We're adopted parents, real parents, blood parents, whatever they might be. Remember your parents. You know, think of them. Think good of them. Sometimes, you know, everything's gotten all happy now. Everything was not all happy when you're a kid, but things are happy now. Sometimes when you remember, although sometimes you have you think of things that are not so happy. But remember people who influenced you. Remember the old path. Don't travel it, but remember from where you came. Remember the old ways. Don't wallow in who you were. I used to love to hear testimonies of guys who were really bad guys before they came to Christ. Matter of fact, the testimonies of the guy who grew up in church, I used to hear bad guys. You know, I was, you know, Al Capone's, you know, gunner, and now I'm, you know. You know, but I, as a child, I liked that because it was grandiose. It didn't mean so much to me now. Because there's the guy who grew up in church that still had to come to the place of giving his life to the Lord, and his testimony means something to me. How about remember that at the cross, Jesus died. Remember that He has blessed assurance for you. Remember the blood atonement. Remember holiness. Remember the second coming. Remember that He has you in His hand. Remember those times. Remember the Lord. Well, just some quick takeaways before we close here and go do some more remembering. Four things. Number one, from this passage, Jesus knows us. Jesus knows you. Jesus knows you so well. He knows everything about you. You know, we talk about the number of hairs on the head. Some German scientist, how he did this, I don't know. Said black-haired women have more hair than red-haired women, who have more hair than blonde-haired women. And I don't know how they got all this. Basically, it's about 140,000 hairs on a head. He counted them. No, I don't know how he came to this, but he did. God knows that about you. He knows what makes you fear. He knows your trepidations. He knows your relationships. He knows when you think ill of people. He knows all this. God knows you inside and out and still loves you, by the way. Second, God knows your works. We see this in verse 3. God looks at what you do. Let's don't shy away from that, but we don't do it out of a heart that is not loving of Him. But He looks at that and He knows what we're up to. The little boy asked his father, he said, well, can God see into my room? And yeah. Can God see into my closet? Yeah. Can God see me in the middle of the night? Yeah, He can. And finally, the little boy said, y'all don't think I care for that. God can see it all. God looks into it all. Well, number three, Jesus knows more than that. He knows your motives and He knows your thoughts. He knows what you're thinking. He knows your motives and your thoughts. And finally, it brings me to this. Jesus knows your circumstances. Jesus knows your circumstances. There may be, even in our small group here, there may be somebody today who is in their own mind and their own heart really struggling with something. Really struggling. And I want to know, Jesus knows your circumstances and He cares. There's no question too tough for the Lord. There's no situation too tough from the Lord. He's seen it all. You're not unique in this, although your situation is unique to you. But Jesus knows and Jesus cares. Sometimes I say to myself, if the people in Emmanuel Tree, if Joy Tarwater knew what I actually thought half the time, she would say, I can't believe that either. But the Lord knows my thoughts, and He corrects my thoughts, and He still loves me anyway. I mess up at home a lot. I know y'all don't. I mess up a lot. And my family still loves me. That is a parable of what the Lord does for us. Let me close with this. Hebrews 4:15 tells us that Jesus was tempted in ways that we are tempted. Yet He was able to withstand the temptation. And He understands the difficulties of life. So if you think of any temptation you have, Jesus had a like temptation. It reminds me of this story. It was a Greek orphan boy who was supported by an American family. And eventually he was brought to the United States to live. And one day he gave the following testimony. He said, when I was little, my mom died. And I was in, you know, just despair. I was lost. I was thrown away. I had nothing in life. I was a street urchin. And we don't have those in this, in our country as much as we do other countries. I knew a man recently talking about being in Haiti and eating in a restaurant. The owner of the restaurant would go out with a broomstick to remove the beggar kids from the open air windows so that the people could enjoy their steaks. So it wasn't real easy to enjoy when he flush away the starving kids. But he said, I was one of these kids. But she said, now as I look back on it, God reached down and I was an orphan. Evil men killed my father and my mother died. But the Lord reached into my situation and He saved me from the pit. Let's remember that. There is some story in each of our families that we don't know where there was some situation that was as tough as that. I don't even know. I mean, I can trace family history. Do you ever trace family history? You look at that and you see so-and-so lived in these years and it's, you just whisk right by the name. But that story there, how did they get from Northern Ireland and Scotland and Wales to the United States? What made them come here? How did my family, why were they in North Carolina and all of a sudden they're in Alabama? What made them do that? Was it hardship? Probably. They've been running from something. Maybe running from the revenue. I don't know why they came. But there is a story. What story will you leave behind? Let's do what we do as a monument to the Lord. Do this in remembrance of Him. Let's pray together. Father, help us to remember. Help us in our remembrance. Lord, at times we need to repent and to do things differently. Go another direction. We need to confess and seek forgiveness. We understand that. But Lord, help us most of all to do exactly what we see in this Scripture and return to our first love. Lord, we want to do all the things You have for us to do. We want to serve. We want to have our eyes open to the needy. We want to evangelize. We want to be prayer warriors. We want to accept and love the people that You put in our lives. But Lord, we don't want to do that out of loyalty. We don't want to do that out of duty. We want to do it out of love. Help us, Lord, to remember and to be a part of and to never forsake our first love. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen and amen.